obey Christ. Obey God's word. Honor God whenever it comes to this year, us being able to put forward a bill for ending the murder of babies in the womb. Honor God. Obey Jesus.
The prophetic voice of the church, of Christians, to the culture should be stop it. End it now. Let's not fool around with 6 weeks and 5 weeks and 4 weeks and maybe in 10 years we can finally get it done. The churches and Christians and pastors should say, we call for the end of abortion now.
Well, friends, we're so thankful that you would join us for this this video. Our concern and our desire in this is to have a conversation from the standpoint of Oklahoma Baptists, affirming and agreeing with the stance that we took at our last annual meeting, November of 2019. So we're going to introduce ourselves, and we're going to, from the standpoint of Oklahoma Baptist, just stand in affirmation and unity and make a call of consistency. My name's Dusty Devers, and I'm one of the pastors at Grace Community Church of Elgin, Oklahoma.
Jay Jones, pastor Christ Fellowship Church in Lawton, Oklahoma.
I'm Billy Elkins, pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Chickasha, Oklahoma.
I'm Brett Baggett. I'm one of the pastors of Ecclesia Muskogee in Muskogee, Oklahoma.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Back in November last year, the Oklahoma Baptists put forward a resolution. It's called Resolution Number 7. And the title of it was On Ending Abortion, Promoting the Sanctity of Human Life. We all are... Most of us went. Billy was out of town. Not going to throw you under the bus on that one, but
yep.
You stood in solidarity with us. And there was an amendment to the resolution that was presented. The amendment was the last sentence that was added, and it unanimously passed on the floor. Jay, you were able to speak to it. Brett, you were able to speak to it. I didn't get the opportunity. I was hoping to. But I know that you guys remember when the vote was taken, there was less than 10 people that voted against it out of how many hundred?
Mm-hmm.
It was several hundred
people.
I saw one
hand for the final resolution.
Yeah.
That voted against.
Yeah.
Mm. I only saw one.
Yeah. So I was so encouraged. Mm-hmm. Were you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Gosh, it was extremely encouraging, and it was, I felt like God was honored. Mm-hmm. Here's what the last sentence says. Finally, we call upon the Oklahoma State Legislature to enact legislation that calls for the immediate end of abortion without exception or compromise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Without exception or compromise. We are calling upon, we Oklahoma Baptists, are united unanimously in calling upon the Oklahoma State Legislature to enact legislation that calls for the immediate end of abortion without exception or compromise. Mm-hmm. So this is a statement of unity, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're united on this.
Absolutely. And that's the way it's going to have to be done. I think in times past, we have been not on the same page. Churches, not just Southern Baptists, but Christians in general. And I go along with what R.C. Sproul once said. He said, you know, when it comes to the issue of abortion, I really wouldn't go out and picket the abortion clinics. Not that there was anything wrong with that in his mind. He said, I would go out and picket the churches, picket pastors and Christians who are continuing to allow this to take place. I mean, look at the Christians in Oklahoma. If we all stood unified to our legislative body, if we all said, end it now, stop it, they would do it. They would do it because we would give them the cover and the ability to do just that. But because of the fact that Christians are not unified, Christians are saying, well, we ought to limit it in some way. like a heartbeat bill for regulate. It's legal up to regulate it up to 6 weeks. That's still just toying around with it and allowing it to continue. Mm-hmm. So Christians should say, end it. If there's going to be any backroom deals done in the Capitol building, that should be done by the politicians. Let it be on their head. Mm-hmm. But for Christians, we should say, stop it. Yeah. End it now. And I think that's that. I think if we can do that, I think ultimately we can see it ended in at least the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oklahoma Baptist are the largest religious voting bloc in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
If we united on this resolution, I mean, not the resolution, but on the bill to abolish abortion in Oklahoma, particularly SB 13, that's right. The one that's on the record that can be brought back this year. Mm-hmm. If Oklahoma Baptists simply united on this front,
right,
we could see abortion abolished in Oklahoma.
Yes.
So the real question is, at the end of the resolution, the amendment that was added and that was approved, it calls for Oklahoma Baptists. It says, we will call our legislature to enact legislation that will bring it to an end without compromise or exception.
Right.
That's exactly what SB 13 does.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here.
Right. So Bill Askell, who presented this amendment as one of us, gave reasons for why we brought this amendment. He said, we want to give teeth to the leaders of Oklahoma Baptists so that it would be very clear what we as Baptists want, so that the leaders can help all of us understand this is what we should call for. This is what Oklahoma Baptists said we're going to call for. And that's exactly what SB 13 does. So what are we going to do about it?
Right.
That's right.
Are we going to do what we said we want to do?
Right. Yeah. I think it's important for us to always keep in mind, like what Billy brought up, is we're pastors and Christians. We're not politicians. Some politicians are Christians, and I think those that are Christians should give some serious thought to what God means in Isaiah 10 when he says, woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees. I know I thought about a lot that, and it made me realize that while a lot of these bills really sound really good, like, for instance, a heartbeat bill or whatever it may be, at the end of the day, you're signing your name on a piece of paper that tells people when they can murder somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Though the intent is good, I don't dismiss that. I know the intent is good. They say we want to save as many people as possible. When it comes down to this, I'm a pastor, right? I couldn't sign it in good conscience because I know one day I'm going to stand before the judge of all the earth and he's perfect in holiness. And I just can't see that he would be good with that. Like, the end doesn't justify the means in this deal right here. We saved all these lives, therefore the heartbeat bill is a just bill. What I want to know as a preacher, what I can tell my people, and what if I had a politician sitting in my church, what would I say to him? All I have to say is what God's word says, and I would have to say, I understand your intent, but when we're talking about what is right and just, I think God's pretty clear on what's right and just, right? And anything that calls for less than total abolition and the criminalization of taking of a baby's life inside the womb.
From fertilization.
Yeah. This is never going to end as long as people can still get chemical abortions. Because that's what will happen, right? You pass a heartbeat bill, which I would say Baptists can't go along with it. I mean, they can. This isn't a binding resolution, but the resolution says without compromise or exception, right? Yeah. Heartbeat bill, I would say, would be with compromise. Mm-hmm. It would say up to heartbeat. Well, all that's going to happen now is everybody's going to get a chemical abortion in a box. They're going to say, I had a blood test done. I'm pregnant. Now they're going to go to an abortionist. He's going to give them an abortion in a box. They're going to go home, and they're going to they're going to go home and abort their baby at home, and that's how abortions will be done in Oklahoma, until we do what we all voted to say that we are going to do. It's going to continue, and it's nothing we should. I don't think we should clap our hands about our success. Like, that's one thing I continually hear from Oklahoma Baptists is how proud they are that they're the most pro-life state. We've done all these great pro-life things. And since I've moved back, I'm from here, Oklahoma, but since I've moved back here, past 5 years, I believe there have been 3 new abortion clinics opened. So I would say, what are we so proud about? That's not success. There are more abortion clinics open now, while all these other compromised legislations have been going forward. So I think it comes back to, down to, I'm appealing, for me, I know personally, I'm appealing to pastors. We aren't politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Take a bold stance on God's word.
That's right.
That's all we have. Mm-hmm. We have a role. When I say the word prophet, I don't mean that we foretell what's going to happen. What I mean is we've got to find our prophetic voice where mm-hmm. we hold up God's word. And no matter what the culture says is right or legal or just, we stand with God's word and we say, this is what God's word says.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. We make open statements of the truth to people's conscience, and we don't use any underhanded or worldly ways in our wielding of God's word.
Yeah, another thing I think is essential to see abortion being abolished, not just in Oklahoma, but in our nation, is pastors holding their congregants accountable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these politicians are members of churches. And I know last year, I believe it was two Southern Baptists involved in killing this bill, SB 13.
Or at least letting it die.
Letting it die in committee and not even getting a chance to be heard. I think mm-hmm. people need to know this about it. The bill didn't even get to be debated on the floor. It got killed in committee. Mm-hmm. And there were two Southern Baptists involved in that. And why? Because they had the cover of their pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way.
No.
Right?
Especially when God says to governing authorities, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Psalm 82, 2 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
When God says that, mm-hmm. then as a pastor, we say that.
Yeah, we can't say
as a Christian
different than
in
that.
General.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But especially as a pastor, we mm-hmm. say,
yeah.
this is what God says.
What are some of the things you guys have seen in talking to people of why they won't get on board with SB 13? I'm curious.
Well, the biggest one is the issue with the mother and concerned about the mother being brought up on charges of murder. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be this argument that the mother deserves some compassion, particularly if she is forced to the abortion, mm-hmm. to do the abortion by her father or maybe an abusive man, somebody that's abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly understand that. I mean, we understand grace, and we understand about loving people in spite and through their sin. But we need to understand that if, for instance, a mother killed her child 1 week after the child was born, mm-hmm. she would certainly be brought up on charges of murder.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. And so 1 week prior to the birth, in some places, in some states, and some would argue that the mother would have the right, the ability to kill that child, and it would not be murder. And the argument is, I think, at its face, it is not recognizing that unborn child is human.
Right.
Just as human as that newborn that's a week old.
Yeah.
And so if you have issues where a mother is forced to have an abortion by someone,
someone that's caught up in sex trafficking.
Right,
and
exactly.
They are forced to do that.
Legally, it's under duress, life and limb.
And we have laws on the books and juries
that take that into account
That will take those issues into an account. And so we can't talk out of both sides of our mouths. Mm-hmm. Either killing a baby in the womb is murder, it's murdering a human being, or it's not.
Yeah.
We can't say that just because that baby is in the mother's womb, that it's less than human and therefore doesn't qualify to be recognized as murder or as killing. So we already have laws in the books for that. The churches can show grace and compassion. We shouldn't expect our laws on the books to show that.
Right.
And so we really need to uphold that human life is essential and important to protect.
Yes. I think you're hitting on, I like what you said there. There's a distinction between law and gospel in our preaching, yes. Right?
Right.
And just in the same way, when it comes to God's law and the reason he's appointed government, which mm-hmm. I believe you spoke to on the floor mm-hmm. Of the annual meeting, right?
Right.
The God has instituted government to punish evil.
Right.
To be a terror to a terror, evil, yeah. even. Not just the punish, but they are a terror to the evildoer, which Paul says upholds the good, because you, the government bears the sword, which the sword is used to kill, and the government says, do not do this, because if you do, we will cut your head off. And what that leads to a majority of the time is people in that society go, I'm not going to do that then, because right. I don't want to bear
right.
the brunt end of that, or the sharp end of that sword. And so it's terror to the evildoer.
So, yeah. So the law, the law shouldn't be grace-filled, right?
Right.
They're the
right.
law.
Right.
But you said, and I think you're right on the money, the church, we extend grace
sure.
to these people, to these women. Even women that would have gone through with abortion, they need to be ministered to.
Absolutely.
That's the church's role to then step in and minister to her. But the government's law is mm-hmm. not about grace.
No, it's well, not.
When the, yeah. when the government makes a law against criminal action, it's showing grace intrinsically mm-hmm. or showing mm-hmm. Value by saying what it is putting a law against.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a law against murdering your child,
right.
then that is a grace towards the child. It's,
sure
it's
it
actually
is. Sure it is. Yeah.
probably less of a grace, but mm-hmm. more of a statement of value. We value life, mm-hmm. period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it's just what the Bible called justice.
That's right.
It's, you're defending someone who's defenseless. You're defending that's someone right. who's innocent.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's this is what is just and righteous.
Right. So when we when the Oklahoma Baptist unanimously made this resolution and said we call for immediate end of abortion without exception or compromise, if we compromise in any area, then we are in essence making an assuming legal and ethical legitimacy of certain sins,
mm-hmm.
in this case particularly murdering your child. Now we wouldn't make compromise in any number of areas of sin. Let's take, you know, sexual assault, for instance. If we had language or took actions that said, okay, sexual assault is wrong except it's only wrong whenever you sexually assault a white woman. Would we say that that's a just law?
No.
It's not a just law. No. What if it's... So it still allows... It still allows sexual assault against black women, against transgender? Or what if we had laws that said, well, slavery is wrong except in these situations? You know, it's wrong to enslave white men, but it's okay to enslave black men or otherwise. Or laws against theft. Well, it's okay to steal in certain situations. Like, it's okay to steal white people's land, but not Native Americans' land. Or, you know, you go down the line. What we are doing, whenever we make compromises to abortion being outlawed as illegal, we are assuming the legal and ethical legitimacy of murder, mm. of murdering children.
We're approving of it, even. Mm-hmm. We're saying it's okay if you murder this child as long as it's
right.
got an undetectable heartbeat, or it doesn't right. have a detectable yeah. heartbeat.
Yeah. Or it's us yeah. that are, whenever pro-lifers, rather than abolitionists, affirm laws on the books that tighten the parameters around abortion, it's the boundaries, within the boundaries of those parameters that actually make abortion legal and justified mm-hmm. in the public's opinion.
Under the current law.
In the public's opinion, it right. makes it justified. Yeah. So we're the ones who are, if we participate with a compromise yeah. or without exception, then yeah. we're participating in supporting it.
Isn't that what, like, let's say this heartbeat bill that mm-hmm. it seems like a lot of Baptists are getting behind.
Right.
Do they not understand that they're saying, we want to end abortion up until a heartbeat is detectable, 6 weeks or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But we're going to allow it up to that point.
Right.
We're going to continue to allow abortion up till that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, do they really understand that's exactly what they're saying? Mm-hmm. And the question is, are they willing to stop there then? Are you finished? Or will you go back next year and say, okay, let's try to shave off another week from that, or another 2 weeks from that?
It's pragmatism.
It is.
We think we could get this done rather than asking the question, what is faithful?
That's right. And that's why.
And if we all stood together and did what's faithful,
that's exactly
what would
right.
it look like?
The prophetic voice of the church, of Christians, to the culture should be stop it. End it now. Let's not fool around with 6 weeks and 5 weeks and 4 weeks and maybe in 10 years we can finally get it done. You let the politicians scramble and do that. The churches and Christians and pastors should say, we call for the end of abortion now. You know, and that's the position that the Christians should take. And I think if we took that position without all these little compromises and these various bills that different people are supporting, if we took that position, we could see it end much faster than what we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The church is, we should have that unified voice. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, you know, let's not second guess what the courts are going to do with it or what anybody else is going to do. We just continue to say, stop it. That's not our job to sit back as Christians and say, what will pass, what won't pass.
How much is it going to cost?
How much? Yeah, and can we get the support for it? That's not our job. Mm-hmm. That's politics.
Do we believe God is sovereign or not, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good question.
The court may have spoken, but that doesn't mean we don't keep coming with, no, this is immoral, this is wrong, this is illegal. Doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says.
That's right.
At one time you said black people weren't really people, and you were wrong.
Courts have
been wrong
in many times in the past.
And they have been proven, they've shown themselves to be wrong.
Yeah.
And they're wrong on Roe, and what needs to happen is a state to defy the Supreme Court, and then it runs up, and then it brings it back up in the Supreme Court. That's the only way Roe's
going to
get overturned.
A state is going to do this, and the question is, will it be Oklahoma?
Absolutely. That's
there
right.
are other states already working bills like this.
That's right.
And there's Texas. There's one recently that just came out the past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Where's it
Indiana?
At? Indiana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to happen. We need to be the ones who lead it and do it, because if we do it, Texas is going to do it.
Yeah. And if it happens in Oklahoma, I think that's the easiest place for it to happen, too. Mm-hmm. We've already got it ready. SB 13 is ready to go. If, especially Oklahoma Baptists, if we would just get out there and call our legislators to do what God says He instituted them to do. Mm-hmm. If we had a unified voice doing that, it would happen.
Are babies worth more than a joint, than marijuana? Is human life more valuable than marijuana? Even if it has great impact on people's health.
Well, you got to explain it for people who may not be in the know.
Oklahoma passed a law that nullified federal law for medical marijuana.
Right.
They asserted state sovereignty for marijuana, and we've done it on other things. We need to assert state sovereignty and be on the side of our sovereign God, who can bring revival. He can do whatever He wants. It just so happens that our Constitution aligns with what's right and just in some ways, that if our federal government gets out of line, that we as a state have the right to nullify.
Well, that's the founder's intent anyway of our nation. We are not a top-down dictated nation. We're sovereign states.
Right.
And we are a union willingly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The state has its own sovereign territories. So there's that one, Dusty. That was a great point you brought up with the marijuana. I think that really that's something people can grab onto.
So it's against federal law to have marijuana, to possess marijuana, right?
Yeah. Right.
The state of Oklahoma says not in this state.
Every time you drive down the road.
What does the federal government do about it? Are they coming in Oklahoma?
No, they do nothing about it.
No enforcement.
You cannot drive down a road in Oklahoma now without seeing a dispensary. So every time you drive down the road and you see a dispensary, you need to think in your mind, Our politicians think defying the federal government for marijuana is more important than defying the federal government for babies. That's what you need to think. Every time you see one of those green crosses.
What their argument, though, is the government defied federal law to give rights to people, to give us the right to be able to get a license and buy medical marijuana. But what defying Roe would be, and their argument, is taking away rights. So they would say the state shouldn't defy the federal government to take away the right of a woman to have an abortion. But that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. We would be defying the federal government to give rights back to those who need to be protected in the world.
To the unborn. Right.
So
the most vulnerable.
People try to flip it around and say, you don't want babies killed in the womb. What you really want is just to take away the rights of women. It's like, we want to give the rights to about half of them are women, half of them are little men in the womb.
Right.
So they are safe.
Yeah, here's what I'd say to pastors. Stop being afraid of people who can't even tell you what a woman is in the first place. Mm. And let's get a backbone and say, this is a woman's right to her body thing. This is about 50 years old, and now it's anti-science. So don't even be afraid of these type of arguments. They're outdated and silly, and they can't stand in our day with all the knowledge that we have about what's going on inside the womb, about having your own specific DNA, your own fingerprints. You're dealing with an entirely different human being from conception.
God's word is clear throughout. Life begins at conception, at fertilization. Science has proven whenever a gamete from the male with 23 chromosomes, typically, and a gamete from the female with 23 chromosomes combine to form that first single cell organism, that is when life begins. 46 chromosomes. They have everything they need, just like us, to sustain life.
Mm-hmm. It is
water, shelter, food.
Mm-hmm.
And an environment in which to grow. Mm-hmm. And that's just like us. Mm-hmm. God's word is clear on where he begins life. And we can talk about any number of laws, but what we need to talk about is do not tamper with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
If you tamper with God, tamper with God's word, you're tampering with God himself.
Mm-hmm.
So we say we're Baptists, we're people of the book. Let's be people of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rest and rely on God's sovereign will and his word and let him sort it out.
Yeah.
Think about this too, as Christians and pastors. You need to consider that our Savior, there was a time when he didn't have a heartbeat.
Yeah.
He is true man, true God, mm-hmm. true man. And there was a time in his development in the womb when he did not have a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. He was Jesus at that time.
Truly God, truly man.
He didn't become Jesus at heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's called the incarnation principle. So if you would take the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, in the womb, then you would take anybody's life. So think about the incarnation principle when it comes to abortion. If anything would take his life at fertilization or after, it should be banned. It's wrong. It's immoral. It's an assault against God's image and God's image bearers. And that has implications, guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That has implications in probably every church in the state of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That means all the abortifacients, the chemical birth control, like levonorgestrel. Levonorgestrel has been used in birth control for 35 years. And I know this is like, oh man, why are we talking about this? Because the implications are, just like Jay said earlier, if we get rid of abortion, we say it's illegal, but we put parameters on it. You can have it before up to, 10 weeks or 12 weeks. Well, what are people going to do? They're going to go get Plan B or RU486.
It's the exact reason why there are more abortions happening in Oklahoma right now after 47 years of the pro-life establishment gaining ground, being successful, but more abortions are happening.
We have 60 million plus reasons since 1973 to tell us that regulating abortion isn't working.
That's right.
And if we do any more regulation, what's going to happen is the pharmacies are just going to get richer.
Mm.
We're going to have more birth control pills. Now, birth control pills are taking their third mechanism of action,
mm-hmm.
is to slough off the fertilized, conceived human off of the uterine lining.
Right.
And I read a study last night. It's a white paper from NIH. They studied levonorgestrel. It was a large study. Levonorgestrel is the primary synthetic progestin hormone that's used. I worked in a pharmacy for 5.5 years. I managed a pharmacy. I read every insert for every birth control pill to see what their mechanisms of action are. They have three. They say the first one is to keep the sperm from getting up into the fallopian tube. That's the first. They also thickens the vaginal wall so that it doesn't pass through. The third is, if there is a fertilized egg, it thins the endometrium and it causes the fertilized egg to not be able to implant. Mm-hmm. And it sloughs it off in the period. Okay? I read a report last night. It's from 2016. It was a white paper on the National Institutes of Health. And it says, we always thought that levonorgestrel, its primary means was thickening, affecting the sperm and thickening. We know that it's less than 15% of the time that it actually does any of that. So 85%+ of the time, it's actually aborting a fertilized egg.
Murdering a little human being.
Aborticide. Now, do we have the numbers on the books for that?
Mm-mm.
It's way more than 60 million.
And most Christians have no idea.
Yeah.
That's why I have four kids right now.
Yeah.
Because my wife and I, when we found that out, we said, we're not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't do
that.
Right.
Yeah.
We found a majority of the time, it's killing a baby.
We didn't find out until we got pregnant with my first son. We have six now. Until we got pregnant with my first son, when we were on the patch, my wife was on the patch, and went and talked to the doctor, because it's just the culture we live in. It's the air we breathe and the water it's just what we drink. Mm-hmm. We're told that, and we're told other things but there are implications to having a God-centered, consistent, covenantal ethic of life and sex.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Well, not only all that, it's harmful. Studies show now how harmful it is for a woman to be taking these things.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all. That's all. I think those two we've hit. I mean, I think we've answered them sufficiently. Right. But there's a third, and the third is what you're going to do with this bill is you're going to make it to where doctors can be charged with murder. And we've talked about it in prior videos when we're talking about medical triage and
right.
how that's already on the books. So can you guys talk about that? Like if it comes in, a doctor needs to save a woman, that he's got to somehow abort the baby on purpose to save the woman's life. And so let's talk about that.
So the homicide laws that are already in effect in our nation would already not only protect a mother who was under duress for life and limb, but it would also protect a doctor who had to make a medical decision in the moment to triage the multiple lives that are at stake, and protect that doctor from being a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
He does everything he can with his intention to save life, not take life.
And both the mother and the child.
Right.
And if there's those very rare occasions, and doctors will say this is a very rare occasion in which you'll have to make that decision on whether the life of the mother or the life of the child is at stake. Nobody's going to take the ability of that doctor to make a decision at the moment.
Right.
About who to save.
So it really is a straw man people bring up.
It is. And nobody's going to prosecute a doctor if he did everything he could to save both the mother and the child.
Right.
That
right.
ultimately in the end he could not save the child. Nobody's going to bring that doctor up on charges.
Right. There is not a single abolition bill that would prosecute a mother under duress of life and limb or a doctor who had to make decisions for medical triage.
Right.
Not a single one.
But what we're asking the doctor to do is, the Hippocratic Oath is to do no harm, and that is to try to save both.
Right. I think people have a false idea, because that's the argument that gets brought up a lot. I think people have this idea that the baby inside the womb is going to be doing something to the mother that the doctor would need to go in and cut their spinal cord and just kill the baby, and then the mother's going to be fine. That's not how anything happens.
Right.
It's never necessary to just go in and kill a baby and now the mom's fine. Yeah. But people think that sometimes that's necessary. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not ever medically necessary.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about and what you men have already said, I stand right by that. Right.
There was a report out a couple years ago from it was several hundred. I want to say it was nearly 700 obstetricians, gynecologists, other medical doctors that said it is never necessary to abort a child to save the mother's life.
Yeah. There's one final one maybe we ought to address, and that has to do with how this bill came to be and maybe who authored it and the groups involved in supporting it.
Yeah.
And that's been used as a reason to not get behind it, right?
Right.
So there would be a lot of pastors and church leaders, and they would say, AHA has been behind this bill, and I don't want to be associated with them, right?
Yeah.
Or this group, this lobbying group has been involved in this, and because they helped get this bill put forward, we don't want anything to do with that bill. What would you guys say to that, people that would say that?
Well, I mean, we support, or at least we support SB 13, not because of who authored it, but because of what it says. It is the exact same message that we have. Stop it. End it. And this is a bill that calls for the immediate ending.
The abolition.
Of abortion.
The legal term being the abolition.
That's right.
It's illegal to kill.
That's right. So we support this bill not because of all the groups behind it or who authored it. It doesn't really matter. I don't really care who authored it.
It gives equal treatment under the law.
Exactly.
And criminalizes murder.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So it's saying exactly what we're saying, and that's why we support it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the real problem, is that there's so many maybe even Christian leaders who either misunderstand it, misrepresent it, and that's why there's such fog out there right now about which one to support.
Last year, it really did seem to be misrepresented big time. I would say, like, bordering on purposeful dishonesty.
Right.
That's why we released that one video last year, which we broke it down in detail.
Yeah. Right.
Which was pretty unfortunate to see and discouraging to see that come from some in leadership.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have to believe this. I mean, I'm a Southern Baptist. We're all Southern Baptists. I have to believe that our Southern Baptist leadership, Oklahoma Baptists, want to see an end to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe that. I have to believe that that's the case. And I think our message to them really would be, Let's stop going into the halls of the legislators. Let's stop going in and making backroom deals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, with one voice, tell the legislature, tell anybody who will listen, we need to stop it now. That should be our message.
And by stop it, it needs to be illegal. The government needs to say to everyone,
abortion is
illegal.
You
cannot kill a human being.
That's right.
You cannot murder.
And if you do.
Murder. We're talking about murder.
Right. And if you do, there are legal consequences.
Right. Which
you
is a great deterrent.
Right.
That's what we
So the real question that Oklahoma Southern Baptists, especially, since that's what we are, need to ask themselves is, do I want to see a day when human beings are no longer allowed to be legally murdered?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sounds funny, legally murdered.
Right,
Do I want that to happen? That there will not be any more children that the government gives a thumbs up to them being murdered? Then, if you want that, support SB 13.
That's right.
That's exactly what
Let's
it does.
Yeah. Prove where you stood in November.
Right.
Just prove it. If, like this resolution says, that we are horrified to know the abortion rate is increasing in Oklahoma.
Right.
If we're horrified and it calls for unity and it calls for us to call our state legislator to enact legislation that calls for immediate, uncompromising, without exception, end to abortion, prove it.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, brother pastors, get in your church, get in your pulpit, at your meetings, at your members' meetings, in email blasts, whatever. Prove that we're unified and that we want to see a godly position of justice in our state. Prove it, members of the church. Tell your pastors. Prove it. If we're united, it's going to show forth in our actions.
Yeah.
It will speak in our words and our deeds. Whatever we think in our minds and whatever we love in our hearts is going to bear fruit. So let's bear godly fruit.
Yeah.
We have an opportunity, an incredible opportunity.
And one other thing before we close, I just want to put this out there. I want to, don't want to dwell on this, but I think there's another aspect of this that we need to get behind. And that is there is no such thing as an unwanted child.
Yes.
Right. So if we support making abortion illegal and abortion becomes illegal in the state of Oklahoma, we also need legislation that will give people the ability or make it easier to adopt these children. There's a lot of money being, there's a lot of deterrence to adoption.
Bureaucracy.
But,
there,
but if we can figure out a way to streamline adoption and make it more affordable and easier, I think we're going to see one-to-one. If somebody doesn't want a child, I can guarantee you there's a couple who will want that child. And we need to do both. We need to make abortion illegal, and we need to help adoption become much easier in this state.
That's right. There's one that's more critically important than the other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So we're not saying, let's just work for adoption.
Yeah.
But the most important is that. And then... We don't stop there.
Yeah, yeah, we don't stop. Then we help out these mothers. There's plenty of help that a mother who is in crisis or who is pregnant, there's plenty of help. There'll be people, there'll be couples that'll be willing to pay for the whole medical bills of everything. You know, there's plenty of things that we can do. Yeah. So I think it's not just a one-sided thing, but we need to also increase adoption and allow these children to live and flourish in families and homes.
Can we talk about one more thing for the sake of, we're all pastors.
Right.
And we have church members, and we have a particular calling on our lives to tell people God's truth and to care for them in special, particular ways where they have needs. And when we talk about where does abortion come from, why would abortion be there? Well, abortion exists because of a convenience-based cultural ethic, a consumeristic mindset around sex, around relationships, rather than a covenantal relationship that I'm in covenant with my Creator, and I'm to reflect Him. So, as pastors, how have you addressed your congregation on issues like issues that promote the whole field of sexual sin that produces abortion?
Yeah. Sure. We start with the creation or the cultural mandate: be fruitful and multiply. I mean, that's a command that was reinstated after the flood, right? Abortion is definitely not obedience to that command. I mean, you're not being fruitful and multiplying like God said. And on top of that, we are made in the image of God. So there's so much to bear theologically on this issue of abortion. But I think you're exactly right. It is coming from a culture that is focused on the individual and the individual desires.
Self-making.
And if that baby is inconvenient to me, then I'll just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And though that kind of selfishness is what's behind all sin, right? It's what's behind all sin. Sin is selfishness. And so we have plenty of laws. People say you can't legislate morality. The fact of the matter is that's all we legislate.
That's all laws are.
That's right. Yeah. That's all we legislate is morality. We tell people what they can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And it's time to end this, end abortion. Yes.
What about the relationship of pornography to this industry?
Yeah, I mean, this is intertwined with just a variety of issues in our society.
Right.
And unfortunately, I mean, I think it stems from just the throwing off of Christianity as the worldview which has permeated our society, right?
Yeah.
It used to be ingrained in a young man from the time he was small, that you respect women, that they're a gift from God, And men don't look at women like that anymore, because all they're taught from the time they're little kids is that women are just an accident, just like you.
Mm. Right, yeah.
There's no purpose or meaning to your life. You're highly evolved. You're most highly evolved organism on the earth right now, but you're just as meaningless as a cat.
Yeah.
I think the problem is in the church as well, and a lot of churches, a lot of local churches. I do wedding videos on the side as tent making, and I can count on half of one hand, less than half of one hand, how many messages I've heard or ceremonies I've heard by pastors at weddings that they even talked about the fact that marriage is a mirror of the gospel,
right,
the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5. Mm-hmm. So it's usually just secularized, mm-hmm. and we use some Bible verses and talk about 1 Corinthians 13, but the proper sexual ethic, which would what you're asking about, like we need to, as pastors, teach our people what marriage is actually about, and that sex is a blessing of the covenant. Mm-hmm. You're in this covenant with someone, and it is a great blessing. And the reason that's important is because this covenant you're in is one of the clearest representations of the gospel that we see in our world, that the Lord said it's a mystery, it's profound, and it refers to Christ and his church. And so what we need to all be continually preaching and teaching those that are in our congregation is that your marriage is not about you. Mm-hmm. Your marriage is about Jesus, and husbands especially. You need to sacrificially lead, love, lay down your life for your wife and your kids, because that's a reflection of the gospel.
When we see sex in the bounds of a covenant, then we see that there are rewards to covenantal action.
Yeah.
And the reward is, as Psalm 127 says, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Mm-hmm. But whenever we shift away from a covenantal understanding of sex, and we move to a consumeristic, convenience-oriented, then we see children as a byproduct, a waste byproduct that we can treat however we
Something
want.
Something be avoided, a cursing rather than a blessing.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, and it all starts, I mean, if you're a pastor, an elder in a church, you ought to be modeling the covenant of marriage. But also, people should see how much of a joy children are to your life. And that's what I tell young couples, you know, that the world tells them, maybe even their parents, you're not ready to have kids yet because you haven't finished college. We know you're married, but you haven't finished college. And I say, if you want joy in your life, the greatest joy you'll ever have, other than Christ, is your child. Yeah. I mean, you have the Christ, you have your spouse, and then you think you don't have time for a baby, to think there'll be an inconvenience. You would be surprised how much joy a child can bring into your life. And so just modeling that. But we're back to this issue because our culture's thrown off the Christian worldview, thrown off the view of marriage, thrown off the view of covenant, thrown off the value
that
a woman is something to be treasured, right? A woman is the treasure of her husband. He would lay down his life for her. He wouldn't use her. The woman, you know, women, there's something to be used, but that's because our culture's thrown off God's, you know, law, which shapes the worldview. And so then comes the law of the land.
Right.
In a perfectly moral society, you know, we would have very few laws. Mm-hmm. But because we've tried to throw God off, it's impossible to really do it. We're here to talking about this.
So
we're asking the government to step in and do what it should do.
Because some people say we don't want to make abortion illegal. We want to make abortion unthinkable. Mm. That's abortion, some kind of utopian view that we're somehow going to convince a bunch of people who are dead in their sin to not do what the flesh wants. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But the government's job is to restrain and restrict that evil by saying, you do not do this, or that's why we got a sword.
Yeah. So for the government, they have to enact laws. For the church, we must repent. We need to repent. And that means pastors and Christians, how do we get back to a true, consistent position of life as being created in the image of God and being image bearers? It comes back to repenting. If we have participated in this industry in any way, we've talked about several things. So this is why abolitionism isn't a mere minimalist political agenda, but a God-centered, life-cherishing worldview that opposes self-making, narcissistic convenience culture. So ultimately, the fight to end abortion, the killing of the most innocent, vulnerable among us, is about the glory of God. And the only ultimate answer for changing rebellious human hearts and our hearts and the hearts of our members of our churches and Oklahoma Baptist, it's the shining of the light of the glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. So we have repenting to do.
Right.
And in our repenting, we should bear fruit in keeping with that repentance.
Mm-hmm. And if we don't want to repent or we think that's hard, we just need to rethink what the Christian life is about. Mm-hmm. And remember that if we're following Jesus, we should be repenting every day, multiple times a day. It should be a regular thing that we go, if we've supported incrementalism and said, it's okay if you kill a baby if it's under this age. But now we're seeing we should just be calling to say, no, it's never okay to murder a baby. Mm-hmm. We should be very quickly willing to go, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to repent. I need to change. Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. And now let's go where is right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That should be normal. That should be regular that we go, well, I was wrong again. Mm-hmm. Thank God Jesus is right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And follow him.
Yeah.
If we don't want to eat crow, as my dad would say, go have to step back on words that you've said or what you've done, then what are we doing? We're not following Jesus if we don't want to repent.
That's right.
Yeah.
Eat crow, Jay?
I was just thinking as you said that, you know, we'll give an account for every careless word.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And then I think if you're going to give account for every careless word, how about careless legislation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Christian life is a life of repentance.
That's right.
We examine our life, and like you're saying, and we see.
And we'll all stand before the judgment seat.
It's not a matter of being re-saved, right? It's a matter of, I know I'm justified because of Christ. Mm-hmm. And because I love him, I want to continually be conformed into his image by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I acknowledge where I've fallen short, and I ask God through the Spirit to change me and to make me more like Christ. Yeah. But that comes to admitting that you're wrong, which is hard to do. I wasn't always on this position here. Mm-hmm. I wasn't here. You know, there was a time when I was on the other side. So someone's got to be wrong. Someone's got to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, when it comes to issues like this, there's not a lot of room for gray.
Yeah.
We should stop making room for gray.
That's right.
And be straightforward and honest. And that's why we're here. It's not because we don't love our brothers and sisters in leadership at any of our associations or any of the pulpits. It's because we love them.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we love them and we love these babies, but we love God. Mm-hmm. And if we love God, then we must not tamper with his word. We must preach Christ. Mm-hmm. And we must, if Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey. And so we're here asking Oklahoma Baptists, because we are those, and if anybody else, the same applies to you. We're asking us all, obey Christ. Obey God's word. Honor God. Whenever it comes to this year, us being able to put forward a bill for ending the murder of babies in the womb, honor God. Obey Jesus. And let us see abortion ended in our state to God's glory and our joy and the joy of these unborn lives.
That's right.